is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're off to explore the expectations of the Chinese economy in a spiral these many months. CNN offering this headline: Has China's economy bottomed out? Factory output and Golden Week travel offer glimmers of hope, reminding me that hope is a word that doesn't compute on Wall Street. They have a proverb for a declining share price, a declining industry. They remind everybody, even a dead cat bounces. The question is the expectation, this hope of China, real, or is it hope? We welcome Ann Stevenson Yang. Ann is here helping us understand how the Chinese economy got into this fix. She is the author of China Alone, Return to Isolation, a new edition. Ann, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. It looks like hope, glimmer of hope, is the best CNN can do. How do you measure this hope, given you've tracked very carefully the property sector that is collapsing? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So I think that hope exists in the absence of hard information. So I've checked the headlines out of China, and they're all about the positive news, not about the negative news. And that's almost the definition of hope. So am I confident about the Chinese recovery? No.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Ann, we have seen this year China's attempt to end alternate sources of information. So, for instance, the imprisonment of Minsk Group employees in March. And there have been other ways of trying to cut off foreign parties from, for instance, Wind Information, which is China's largest provider of financial information. Do you believe these numbers? Are they real? Or do you think that what we're seeing is just sort of manufactured information?
I mean, two things. Number one, the transportation numbers, the numbers, for example, of showing road transportation are notoriously difficult actually to pin down because there's no key reporting source. But I think more importantly, what we're getting out of China is headlines saying, oh, domestic travel is up, but we don't see in the headlines things like, oh, international travel is down by a third.
I want to go to the property sector, Ann, because we've talked about Evergrande and then Country Garden. And the expectation is there's deflation in the property sector. But I saw a report of not only deflation, but a whole housing development on the coast, and I don't remember the city, in such disrepair for its creditors that not only was it going to be emptied of people who thought they could live there, but they were going to bring it down. In other words, they were going to destroy what they'd built. Is that going on elsewhere? Was this a one-off story to bring in the wreckers and to take down the high-rises?
Yeah, interesting, John. I didn't see that story, but I can tell you that in the Kangbashi district of Ordos, which was a famous ghost city way back, it had its crash back in 2012, because they couldn't fill it up. It was built for 5 million people. And the last time I visited, I believe it had 50,000, most of whom were construction workers and service providers for the area. So the district, in the interest of driving GDP, actually dynamited the empty buildings and rebuilt new ones.
So it is credible that taking down the buildings, to what end? We've given up. We can't maintain them as they melt in the rain. Why would you take down buildings that you constructed for the future, for some kind of utopian outcome?
Well, I think that that these property projects are designed really, or at least are conceived of by their localities as driving GDP growth. And to do that, you need to build new ones and have cement, glass, steel, and trained, and also lots of construction workers. If you just have the building sitting idle, then they're a cost, not income.
I understand. The GDP can be buoyed by building a new building, having taken down the one across the street. Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
And also, John, destroying a building is gross domestic product as well. So you get it on both ends, the destruction and the building. And there's been a number of reports about the overbuilding in terms of apartments. Some people saying that China has enough property, vacant property, for 1.4 billion people, which happens to be the population of China. Some people saying 3 billion. But the point is, the laws of supply and demand must apply in China like they do elsewhere. And this seems to me, I think, to be the ultimate problem for China, regardless of how many people travel on National Day.
Yeah, I think, you know, clearly supply and demand stopped working in the property sector in China quite some time ago. And you can see that by the fact that the prices were well in excess of the ability to pay by the people who actually needed housing. But I think that the problem is even deeper than that, which is that the construction of all of these housing projects has created this huge lump of unused and dead assets. So the banks have all of these assets that actually are worth nothing. And that buildup occurred over, you know, 15 to 20 years. And although Xi Jinping and the current government didn't create it, they certainly didn't solve the problem either.
There's a summit of some sort with Vladimir Putin momentarily, Putin to Beijing. And then there's a summit of some sort, a bilateral conversation on the sidelines of APEC planned in San Francisco. What does she need from Putin to help his economy, if anything? What does she need from Washington, from Mr. Biden, to help his economy, if anything, Anne?
Well, from Putin, I think, is much indebted to Xi Jinping. And Xi Jinping can ask for a lot of goodies. What he mainly needs is a discount on the crude oil that Russia is shipping, so that China has an advantage on crude oil prices. He's already been getting that. No doubt he'll be seeking a deeper discount. For the U.S., you know, China is hopping mad at all of the restrictions from the U.S. export restrictions and sanctions on Huawei and other such companies. I'm not sure they have a ton that they can do without cutting off the critical semiconductor sector, but they certainly will be working on export restrictions.
Gordon, you have one more question.
So, Ann, you talked about the banks holding assets which are worthless. Will the property crisis transmit into the banks for a crisis there as well, or can the banks insulate themselves?
Well, one of the reasons that property prices have not crashed in the absence of transactions is that banks don't let them crash and cities don't let them crash. Cities set a regulatory floor on the price at which you may purchase an apartment, or at least may register the purchase of that apartment, because when there's a cash transaction, then banks have to mark that to market. Otherwise, they just hold it at the original value, as do property companies. So it's going to take a while before people are desperate enough for cash that they just sell at any old price and the banks take the loss.
Anne Stephenson Yang is author of the new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Matlin.